Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Bert Show.
Guys, ever apply a self-imposed ban on any place in particular where something so uncomfortable happens that you just decide, I'm never going back there ever again? Kristen is right in the heat of it.
It is a self-imposed ban. I'm going to just take a beat and not go over to Phipps Plaza for a while, where all the fancy stores are. You know, you got your Fendi and your Gucci and your Versace and your Dolce and Gabbana and your Christian Louboutin, and the list goes on and on and on and on. So there's a little bakery over there, Milan's Bakery. And I picked Jimmy up from school yesterday, and I was like, hey, you want to go on an adventure? Mm-hmm. And he's like, no. And I go, for a treat? And he goes, yeah.
So it's easily bought off.
Totally. So we were going over there for a little sweet treat. Going to get him a cookie, get me a croissant and a cappuccino, sit outside, enjoy the weather. And you and I are going to Kentucky this weekend, and we're going to the racetrack. And I want to find a cute outfit for the racetrack, right? So I was like, all right, well, I'll, you know, swing by Nordstrom's and see if I can afford a sock.
It is. A place is for the richy rich.
Yeah, it really is.
Right?
And so, and
the,
mind
the kooks.
You, yeah, and mind you, Jimmy's got like his sweatpants on and his dinosaur t-shirt, and I've got my typical attire of leggings and a t-shirt, and you know, we're looking common. And so we eat, and then he needs to go use the potty. So we're walking through the, you know, past all the fancy stores trying to find the potty. Can't find the potty. Finally find the potty, but we're doing good. And so we get into the bathroom, and I was like, ooh, this is a nice bathroom for the rich folks to pee and poop in. And we get into the stall, but because it took so long to find it, like, he's ready to go, right? And so I, you know, get his pants down around his ankles, and I put him on the toilet, and he immediately starts to go, but he's not aimed down.
Uh-huh.
So he shoots me. No.
So is he sitting on the potty?
He is.
Okay.
He's sitting, and it's just.
So this is like the fountains in front of those hotels in
the
Vegas.
Bellagio.
Yeah,
yes.
The Bellagio.
Yeah, I got a little Jimmy Bellagio action. So I immediately have to take my hand and put it on it and push it down into the toilet so we can like pee in the toilet.
Oh,
so now I'm sitting there with a pee-soaked foot, an ankle and leg, and he got it all over the back of his pants. In it, his underwear. And now, mind you, we were just going on a small adventure. I don't have his backpack. I don't have backups of anything. Mm. I don't have the wipes. I got nothing. I got my little nappy sack that goes around my waist that's got a tampon in it, and that's it. And that's not going to help us right now.
The only thing I'm leaving this house with is cash and a tampon.
1,000%. So he sits there, and I'm like, okay, stay right here, because we got pee on the floor. It's on me. It's on him. This is one of those bathrooms that is trying to be environmentally friendly and has no paper towels.
Oh, no.
And only the air dryers.
Oh, I hate those.
So I'm looking around, and I'm like, and they have the dispensers where the paper towels used to be, but no paper towels in them.
Oh, that's a tease. That's the worst. And you're shoving your hand up in there. You're like, there's got to be one up there.
Something. So I'm like, son of a biscuit. Now, mind you, at this point in time, Jimmy doesn't want me to forget where he is. So he's in the bathroom going, wee-hoo, wee-hoo, making a siren noise so I can find him.
Well, there is a little bit of an emergency going on.
Yeah, the timing is right.
So I wash my hands. I air dry them as best I can. I go back into the stall. I'm just getting so much toilet paper. I actually clean up the pee that's on the floor. Mom is like, who cares about me? And I get more
toilet paper. Grown men don't do that.
Right. And I'm doing the more toilet paper and I'm taking and I'm squeezing it on his pants to try to get as much of it out of as possible. And then he goes, ooh. And so now Jimmy's grabbing toilet paper left and right. And so it's just, so I get him up, I pull up his pants, and the way his pants got wet, he shot the back of it. So there's like this little triangle, but if I pull his dinosaur t-shirt down far enough, he can't really see it. And I was wearing black leggings, so thank God I don't have like a giant watermark on me. And we walk out of the bathroom, and we just mosey our way all the way back to the car. And as I walk out and I look to my right, and there's Christian Louboutin. And I'm like, my foot is soaked in pee, and my son has a giant pee stain on the back of his pants. I cannot get out of this place fast enough.
Hey, North Point Mall will always take you.
Thank That's God. Sure.
I have one place that I will never go back to again, even though this was years ago. Staff has changed. Ownership has changed. It's not even the same restaurant anymore. It was so long ago that my ex-wife and I, we were having a romantic night, and I reserved the wine cellar. They had one table in the wine cellar for dinner, right? And you had to reserve it months in advance. She was all excited because she's a big old foodie. We go down there, and it is a sound, quote unquote, soundproof wine cellar, right? So we're in there and we're eating and we're drinking wine. And I can't even remember what the argument was about, but we got into an argument and it escalated and escalated. And our voices were getting louder and louder and louder. And as the servers were coming in, as they would open the door, we would just shut up. Because we knew that everybody in the restaurant would be able to hear, and then they'd leave, and we'd start going at it again. And it's an all-glass cellar, so everybody on the outside could see what was going in. It was a miserable night, and I have never gone back, and it was 15 years ago.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Nobody wants this. I feel like it's been the show of the last couple of weeks, the last month or so. People cannot get enough of this rom-com. They're obsessed with it. So it's getting a season two, and supposedly it's supposed to come out in September of 2025. And we're going to get to wrap up some of these storylines that we started with season one, but there is one storyline that will not be included in season two. So the show creator, Erin Foster, she revealed in a recent interview that they're actually cutting the subplot between Joanne, who is played by Kristen Bell, the main character, and Noah, who's played by Adam Brody, he is her love interest. His brother, moving forward, they are cutting the flirtation because they don't want the sister, whose name is Morgan, to come off as a homewrecker. Essentially, Sasha, who is the brother that she's having this flirtation with, is married to this woman named Esther. She kind of plays the villain, so we're all kind of sort of rooting for this subplot for them to like get together. But at the same time, Erin Foster, the creator, is like, we can't really wrap this up in a way that doesn't make Morgan look bad. She said, we want to see them together in season two, hanging out. We want to see Esther, the wife. I think we went down that road enough that now we're going to pull back and reposition so we can have them all in scenes together without Morgan being like a full homewrecker. So now instead, the actress who plays Morgan has actually pitched her storyline for season two, and apparently she calls it her dream storyline. So it'll be very interesting to see what comes out of it.
I'm so glad, because that was, even though Esther, Sasha's wife, and nobody wants this, like, yeah, she came off like that in the beginning, but then you see these glimpses of their marriage and how it works for them. It wouldn't work for me, but it works for them. And I was like, if you want this show, it didn't feel like that storyline was fitting for the show.
I liked it only in that you could tell that there was a chemistry between the two other characters that wasn't going to go anywhere. But I think that's a short plot.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, we've seen it. All right, now it's time to move on.
I was wondering where they were going to go with it because it did seem a little controversial for what's otherwise just like a really lighthearted and easy watch. It's not something that you're going to like sit there and feel like you're going to get a gut punch out of nowhere. I still feel like the characters are endgame. I still feel like there's going to be, I feel like season two is going to set up their relationship in season three. I just feel like they have to get rid of the whole he's married thing first.
Oh, see, I hope they don't do that.
So long as his character sticks around, I don't care what they do.
Yeah.
I mean, he stole the show, man. He is so good.
He is hilarious.
Yeah. And it's a great show. If you haven't watched it yet, it's still on Netflix. Killer, killer rom-com. All right. Dave Portnoy, he is living every Swifties dream because he got a handwritten note from Mother herself. He went down to Miami where he currently lives to go see the Eras Tour, which, by the way, still going on. This is the longest tour ever. And not that I'm complaining, but it is incredible that she has been able to change the set list that's been going on so long. She has new outfits that's been going on so long. But he got on TikTok to basically shut down a Swiftie that got upset that about how he has invested himself in the Swiftiedom of it all and thinks that he's a big phony.
I just want to reestablish who he is for those that don't know Barstool Sports. He is the one that created Barstool Sports, and he's become bigger almost than that. He's kind of a controversial figure in a lot of ways. He's just like, they talk sports, they talk politics. He's a very manly man, yet he adopts dogs, and he's a Taylor Swift fan. So when he was so hardcore about Taylor, some people were calling him out, calling him a fake. And this was his final end game.
Yeah, and I guess it's hard to see men like that be multifaceted. I don't think we typically see his archetype as like this, like as a part of the Swifties. I feel like we're kind of seeing that too with Flavor Flav a little bit. And so there's this girl on TikTok who was like going off at him, basically being like, nobody in Taylor Swift's camp likes him. The whole Taylor Swift fan thing is a whole act for him just to make him look good and to get women on his side.
A performance fan? Is that what she called him a couple of different?
Yeah, performative fan, essentially.
Performative fan.
And so he comes on and he's like, well, funny you should say that because I was in the VIP tent, which is like, he was sitting next to Billy Joel, for example. Like, it's a big deal to be in this VIP tent, and got a handwritten note delivered to him by her brother with her mom by his side. The mom and the brother both give him a hug, thank him for all the support. The note from Taylor says, thank you for standing up for me when other people wouldn't, but kind of referring to how he was always on her side with the whole Kanye debacle.
He's kind of notorious for anybody that comes after him, he goes back at them tenfold, really aggressively, right, and shuts it down. But in this case, I thought he handled it pretty well because this woman was coming at him saying that he's fake, and he's like, you know what, I just got back from the Taylor concert and it's all about love, so I'm going to take the high road on this thing.
Exactly. He was like, let's choose love. So love that for Dave. Love seeing this different side of him that's a little softer, a little less, you know, manly. All right, Liam Payne's autopsy report is revealing what was in his system the night he died. I'm going to tell you if authorities found anything that could have contributed to his fatal fall on your next e-buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Special thanks to today's sponsor, Georgia Safe Retirement Planners.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Technology has made it so easy to cheat if you are a student, but are you just using what's available to you, or is it really cheating?
So I came across this article that was about parents who were upset that their son was getting punished for using AI. And they were like, no, he didn't use it wrong. And they are fighting the school over everything AI.
Jennifer and Dale Harris say Hingham High School teachers, administrators, and the school district have unfairly punished their son after he used AI on a history paper. They say the high school handbook never mentioned AI until this incident with their son, only adding this language this year.
They basically punished him for a rule that doesn't exist.
School teacher Dale and writer Jennifer know the debate around AI. In their lawsuit, they say he only used it as a tool to research, not to write the paper.
He got a perfect score on the ACTs, and he's looking to go to Stanford or MIT or some of the top schools, and he's missed the opportunity already for rolling admissions.
Their lawyer says this case shows there should be policies around using AI in schools.
There's a wide gulf of information out there that says AI isn't plagiarism.
Until then, this family wants the school to change course.
Now, in their legal filing, the school says that they do have policies regulating the use of AI and have spoken to students about how and when to use it.
Now, Kristen sent this story to us a couple of days ago, and the timing of it is impeccable in my life because I just got this email literally yesterday from the school district that says, I've noticed that many students are using AI and other apps to solve math problems and generate answers for quiz and test questions. This is not permitted and is a violation of the student code of conduct. Students are also copying and pasting quiz problems into web searches to look up answers online. So it's rampant.
Yeah. And I mean, I know it's got to be. Technology is incredible, but at the same time makes life more difficult in some aspects. And I'm sure for teachers, AI is making life more difficult when you're trying to differentiate between like, okay, did you just use the computer to do research or did you actually have the computer write your paper for you?
So it's so interesting how this whole technology is advancing so quickly. And I'm not necessarily a fan of it. I just know it's not going away, so I'm trying to embrace it. But there are now AI apps that you can use to check AI.
Wait,
so
what?
Yeah. So teachers are starting to use these now. So they will run the papers from their students through this particular app. So AI is checking AI. and it's saying that, hey, this is 75%. This is 83% AI.
Wow, this is like AI inception. My brain is melting.
I mean, if the school outlaws it, then obviously it's wrong. But it does make me wonder if, like, the same way we have to evolve, if the schools should evolve because it's not going anywhere. And, like, maybe you should allow students to use it as a tool. I see why you wouldn't, but I mean, it's not going anywhere.
Right.
Here's what I want to know. So if he wrote the paper himself, but he didn't have AI write it,
yeah,
he must have written it either A, really well to where it looked like AI, or B, he used so much of the AI in the paper that it was you couldn't differentiate it between AI and not AI. So I like want to side with him because like, if it's technically not a rule, he technically didn't break the rule. But at the end of the day, like if somebody else wrote the paper, whether it be a robot or a person, it's not your work.
It screamed to me, like listening to the story, that the teachers didn't want to get showed up from a kid who had a perfect score on an ACT. Like this kid had a perfect score on his ACT. He wants to go to Stanford. He wants to go to MIT. And so he found a way around the system, right? And now the teachers are looking back and going, yeah, no, you can't do that. But he's like, you know, but the parents are like, that wasn't a rule. Like,
yeah.
You're literally punishing him because he was smarter than the rules.
Do you reward the, I don't even want to use the word ingenuity or creativity behind it, even though the spirit of it is clearly cheating? Yeah, the law is not in place yet, but clearly, ethically, when you're doing that, it's wrong.
I don't think you reward it, but I don't think you punish it because he played by the rules. Mm-hmm. And yes, you can argue everyone could recognize that it's not right, but this is how great, I mean, I would argue honestly, thinking outside the box is how great strides are made in humanity. And honestly, not from the ethics side, but that's what I would expect of someone going to MIT or Harvard to look at the rules and be like, how can I get around them to achieve my end result? Is it totally ethical? No. Are we talking about a high school student? Yes, there's a lot that he can learn.
Yeah, I can't disagree with it. But if I'm the principal, I'm probably starting to put in place rules now because it is the Wild Wild West out there. Mm-hmm. It's a Wild Wild West online on what you can sue and what you can't sue. And AI now is the Wild Wild West. But it's also new that the laws haven't been established yet.
If anything, I feel like they shouldn't be able to use it because we ain't have it, and I'm hating.
I know. I would love to have been a student today.
I wish.
Would have made it really, really nice.
It was so hard to cheat in our day.
Yeah, we only had use calculators.
You kids have it so good these days. It's so easy to cheat.
The Burt Show.
You've got today, you got tomorrow, and then that is it to win a brand new 2024 Audi Q3 with a raffle ticket for only $100. All 100 bucks of that is going to Burt's Big Adventure.
Yeah, so you have to go to burtsbigadventure.org to get your raffle ticket. And like Burt said, you have today, and then you have until 5 tomorrow. And then that's it. No more raffle tickets. And we limit the raffle tickets to give you an even better chance at winning this Audi Q3. So we've limited them. Go ahead, get your raffle ticket. The 100 bucks goes to Burt's Big Adventure. And then we could be drawing your name and calling you up and being like, hey, guess what? You're getting a new Audi.
And it feels good, too, because all the money's going to Burt's Big Adventure. So buy your tickets today or tomorrow, burtsbigadventure.org. So, Abby, you might be in debt to Rebecca for the rest of your life.
I'm forever indebted to social media producer Rebecca. I feel like we need to do a slow clap for her, for what she did for me while I was leaving for London. Thank you. Wow, Rebecca saved not only my cat, but my sanity. Now, if you don't know, if it's not obvious from the sound of my voice, I am a single, lonely cat lady. I live alone in an apartment by myself with nothing but my hopes, my dreams, my pride, my dignity, and my cat. And I was flying out to London for stupid reasons on Thursday. And I have a lot of anxiety leaving my cat by myself because the cats aren't like dogs. Like, you can't really just leave them with anybody, like, to take care of them. So you're sort of like, you're kind of stuck with very little options. Like, you either need to leave them with a family member that they know and trust and respect, or you got to leave them totally by themselves because cats get very stressed out around strangers. So I, having to leave on Thursday to go out of the country, set up my cameras, cleaned my apartment, did everything I needed to do to have peace of mind to make sure that my cat was going to be okay while I left, leaving all the food out, you know, vacuuming up all the small things that she could choke on the floor. Like, it feels like you're leaving a toddler by themselves for a couple of days. And so,
which is not recommended.
Which is not recommended. Maybe for a cat, though.
My parents did it. I ended up fine.
And so I was having a lot of
jury still out.
I have a lot of anxiety about leaving her. And the first time I left out of the country about 2 months ago, like, I was inconsolable. Like, I was sobbing on the ride to the airport because I'm like, oh, she's going to be okay. This feels very selfish that I'm leaving. And if something happens, then I'm going to have to see it on my Blink camera and I'm not going to be able to go get her. And I was just freaking out and panicking. So this time around, I left a key at the office. I was like, just in case for emergencies, I know people will be here. I had my camera set up. And honestly, I was feeling a lot better this time around. I was like, I've done this rodeo before. It was fine the first time. It'll probably be fine the second time. So I'm a little more lackadaisical, if you will, this time than I'm leaving my cat. So much so that I left this big heavyweight blanket that I have on my couch. I just kind of threw it over the side because sometimes she likes to scratch it up. I put over some pillows. I'm like, maybe she'll snuggle on it. And I left my apartment. Don't think twice about it. But of course, I get my Uber. I'm on my way to the airport. And I start to feel a little bit of anxiety bubble up inside me. I was like, oh, my baby. I'm leaving her for a couple of days. I miss her. So I'm like 5 minutes from leaving my apartment. And I check the Blink camera just to make sure she's still good. And I'm watching her like slink around my apartment. Looking like she was up to no good. You know, putting her tail on the side of the couch. Having a little nibble on her food. And she hops up on the couch, which is unusual. She typically just sits on her little cat tower, watches the birds and the ants outside, and it's fine. But then she starts getting around this heavy blanket that I have on the side of my couch. And then I see her burrow underneath it. And I'm like, that's fine. She's just checking out what's under there. She's probably going to come out soon. And then 5 minutes passes, and then 10 minutes pass, And then 15 minutes pass, and I'm like, oh my God, my cat's going to suffocate. My cat's going to suffocate under my heavy blanket, my heavy wool blanket. And I start sobbing violently, thinking about how I'm doing this stupid, selfish thing, flying out to another country for stupid reasons, and my cat is going to die on this camera, and I'm never going to see her again. So I immediately text the Burt Show youth group, and I'm like, is anybody at the office? Can anyone get my key and go check in on my cat? And Rebecca, I end up texting her because I trust her the most. Sorry to everyone else. And I said,
understandable.
I will Venmo you $50 right now if you go move a blanket off of my couch because I think my cat is about to die.
And I said, down, because I'll do anything for a buck.
Yeah, she's down for a check. And then thank God, an hour later, I'm in the airport. I'm sitting at an airport bar and I see a little notification from my Blink camera. And Rebecca it says motion detected. And there's Rebecca just playing with my cat, hanging out, making sure she's alive. And I just feel so indebted to you because I would have had so much anxiety about my cat passing away and suffocating under my Delta Zeta blanket that I've had for 15 years on my couch.
I appreciate being lauded as a hero, but I do have to say that Della certainly was not in distress until I think I got there. Right. I mean, animals, I feel like they usually like me, I think, because they can sense that I'm better than other people. That I have like a kind soul and good spirit. But as soon as I walked through your door, Della was bounding over, very excited, immediately was not having me, very unhappy to see me, was like, that is not my mother, and went running for her blanket fort. And I'll tell you, she was very upset that I had to dismantle her blanket fort. I'm going to say that she probably wasn't in immediate distress. And when I got that text, I was like, okay, girl to girl, this is a text from someone with clinical anxiety, but I've been there. So I'm going to go do it. I'm going to go take care of it. I was like, where can I put this blanket? Cause I need to put it on camera somewhere that she can see it, that I know she won't have me come back and move it again.
Why? It was $50 every time you come back. I wouldn't have moved it at all. You could have made $400.
That's true. Honestly, true. No, but Della and I became fast friends after she did take a little chomp at me. A little chomp.
Stop, you liar.
No,
she would never. You're
going to
be that mom.
Jesus,
yeah, quit putting this on my cat.
Not my angel. She's not capable of that.
And if she did, you're clearly a stranger in her her territory. She would have every right to defend herself. What if some random came into your apartment? You're not going to have the right to bare teeth? Like, what the heck?
Well, the $50 will cover some of the tetanus shots.
Very true. No, I was asking for it, honestly, not to victim blame. But yeah, no, Della and I became fast friends.
Everything's okay. Everybody's alive.
Everything's good.
Thank God. The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
All right, every institution, every industry has a dark side. I imagine if we really wanted to, Kristen could be here for the next hour diving into this one.
First show listener Sarah emailed me. Hi, Kristen. I had an idea for your dark side segment. I don't think I've heard you do this one. The dark side of the PTA.
Every industry has its deep, dark secrets until Kristen shines a light on its dark side.
Welcome to my dark side.
You might call it PTA, you might call it PTO. the Parent Teacher Association or Parent Teacher Organization.
Either way, you're going to have PTSD.
So there were a couple of headlines that were very, very common. And I'm just going to go through these really quick so you have an idea that some people cannot be trusted with money. PTA president allegedly stole $40,000 from New York City Elementary School, blew it on Amazon and vet bills.
Oof.
A couple has been accused of stealing $53,000 from the PTA of two schools and the Old Bridge Rebels football and cheer program.
Damn.
And then lastly, Northern Virginia PTO president accused of embezzling more than $80,000.
Wow.
I know.
80,000?
Dude.
What?
That's insane.
It is crazy. So it was just page after page of PTA, PTO presidents stealing and embezzling money. Then I go over to the teachers of Reddit, and somebody asked, what was the worst behavior of a parent you've witnessed during a PTA meeting? We'll start. One year, we had to hold a special election PTA meeting due to the fact that the former PTA president decided to embezzle the PTA school funds for personal use during the election for a new president. The old president thought it would be a good idea to show up to the meeting to plead her case that she was not a criminal. She ran to the microphone, yelled at everyone that she was framed, told everyone that the FBI was now involved and that they were all going down, pulled out a vodka bottle from her purse, threw it at the principal's head.
What?
She missed. And then when she was done, got in her car, backed into a fifth grader teacher's car that happened to teach her middle child.
No.
That is insane.
Uh-huh. Next, we have, I watched a mom get into a fist fight with another mom because she accused her of buying store-bought brownies for the PTA.
How dare she?
The last thing I heard was, are you accusing my great-grandmother recipe of being store-bought? And then fists went flying. This one, I called the dean. This is from a student whose parent responded at a PTA meeting, okay? I called the dean a George Costanza-looking MF, but actually said out the word and got suspended for it. Dad went to the PTA meeting later that week. As the dean was explaining to him what I did to get suspended, my dad laughed, and another father said, he's not wrong. Well, he's wrong for saying that, but the description fits. They were not allowed back to any PTA.
I'm 100% sure of that.
And then I found myself over on Romper and had moms share their PTA stories.
What is Romper?
Romper's a website. So Romper had this page for moms to share their PTA incidences. And one mom says, we have an organic mafia at my son's school. They openly shame you if you bring any snacks that don't meet their high standard. That's hysterical. They actually call them the organic mafia.
Organic mafia.
She says, last time my contribution was sent home unopened because it didn't meet the organic mafia standard. At our end of year PTA party, the two moms started having an argument. It got out of hand and there was some hair pulling. Then the dads went at it. In the end, all four of them ended up in the principal's office. And then lastly, at our summer barbecue, this parent volunteer kept complaining about having to help out. She would avoid jobs, stand and watch everyone else clean up, just go around the corner to get a smoke. In the end, one of the organizers said, why did you even volunteer to help? She answered that she didn't. She was court mandated to assist in her child's school activities. That's why she didn't want to participate in any of the PTA activities. So there you
we
have
could
it.
We go on and on and on and on and
there,
on.
There you have it. So, and one person on the Reddit thread was like, man, I have always avoided PTA, PTO. I was never going to sign up. But now, you guys, these meetings are lit. Like, I want to get a piece of this action.
I want to see the fights.
The Burt Show.
Was I racially insensitive? Was I naive, maybe, 12 years ago? I want to revisit this. I'm excited to do so. Because anytime I do and ask me anything on Instagram, and if you're on Instagram and you want to follow me, it's Burt Show Burt. I get this probably once every round. And the question is, would you handle the Hayden, my son, situation with Muhammad Ali today the same way you did 12 years ago? And back then, I have friends that are blacks that I ran this by also. So it wasn't completely naive, and I wasn't just asking my white friends how they felt about it. But we didn't have as many black people on the show back then to give input. And now we do. So I would really like to get the input from Mo and from Amber and from Katie on this incident that happened in my personal life that I brought to the radio. And it was one of the most controversial things that we had talked about on the, were you here at the time? Mm-hmm. You were. Okay. Do you remember what your attitude was about it back then?
I don't.
Uh-uh.
I really don't.
So this was
I think I was like, don't do it, if I remember correctly. But it was hard to, if I remember correctly, I believe my stance was you shouldn't do it. But if you had Muhammad Ali's blessing, then who am I to tell you what you should or should not do?
Which I did.
Yeah.
It's kind of a long story, and yeah, I'll try to truncate it here just in the interest of time, but I don't want to leave anything major mm-hmm. out of it because it is such a sensitive issue, right? So when my son was 10 years old, he was assigned from his school a project that I thought was fantastic. The school assigned a project in which all the kids had to come in and be wax figures of their famous American. And he had a list of Americans to choose from. Now, in my house, he heard the name Muhammad Ali over and over and over again because it's one of the Americans, a boxer, that really bonded my dad and I as I was growing up, and we just didn't have a lot of that time. So as I got older and I learned that Muhammad Ali was way more than a boxer, I guess I must have talked to Hayden about it a whole bunch of different times, and somewhere in the back of his head, he found Muhammad Ali interesting also. So out of this whole list, all these Americans, he chose Muhammad Ali. Now, the assignment was a wax museum. So the parents would walk into this big room, right? And all of the Americans, famous Americans, would be there represented by the children, by the kids. And they would dress as these figures, and they would represent these figures. And then they would have their name underneath them so we could have some dialogue. So at 10 years old, my son had the idea to put brown makeup on his face to represent Muhammad Ali. So immediately I was like, oh boy, how do I explain this one here, right? So we did a deep dive into quote unquote blackface, and I told him why it was so offensive and how it would be controversial if he dressed up like Muhammad Ali and he had this brown makeup on his face. We talked about it quite a bit, and we talked about how demeaning it was, what really it was all about, how it was insulting, how it was to keep an entire race and make fun of black people also. And he said to me, again, at 10 years old, not really educated in this area at all, he's like, but I'm not doing that at all. And I said, I understand that, but you sort of have to like just listen in a case like this, that when black people say that this is offensive, you just got to kind of listen. And we did more and more deep diving on the whole thing. And I think it might have been his words that were when he said, Muhammad Ali is not a famous American because he was a boxer. He was a famous American because he was black and he fought for civil rights and gave up his career and his life to stand up for what he believed in. He went to jail. He did not want to go and represent the country in a war that didn't feel like this country was protecting him, so why should he protect them? There were also some religious aspects to it also when it came to Islam. So we both sort of decided that him being there and not representing the thing that makes Muhammad Ali, Muhammad Ali, and a great American partially is his skin color. So if you have other 10-year-olds that walk in there and then they walk out and they don't know that Muhammad Ali was black, then we've done a disservice to Muhammad Ali. There were some that were saying that you just could have put like some kind of piece of paper that said, I am black. that would have been maybe covered it and maybe not. So he went ahead and he did it. I approved it and he did it. And it was so controversial. We had people calling the radio station saying they were never going to listen again. I had people hitting me up. They found my email address and said that they were going to go to his school and they were going to protest at his school if he did this. It was a really big deal. Anyway, he went ahead and he did it.
And you had Muhammad Ali's blessing.
Afterwards.
Was it after the fact?
It was afterwards. So that's a very long story also, but yeah. We have sort of a mutual friend, and Muhammad Ali and his wife just happened to be in town. And we were lucky enough to go to Muhammad Ali and present exactly what happened. And also Hayden got to read his paper on Muhammad Ali to Muhammad Ali, which, by the way, that paper now is in the Muhammad Ali Museum in Louisville. It's still there, right? And Muhammad Ali and his wife totally signed off on it and said they didn't really understand what the controversy was about. And just as a sidebar, Muhammad couldn't really speak all that well at that time. There was just something magical about that man and his wife, man. And you could feel it when we were in that hotel room. You could just feel the magic and the love from that guy. He was embracing my kids. Hollis was there also, embraced Hayden, listened to Hayden as he was telling and reading his story with such intent and loving eyes. And then he came and he gave Hayden this big hug that I got a picture of also. And it's one of the greatest memories for me and my children. So, as I said, at the time, it was very controversial. And now looking back at it 12 years ago, I started to wonder, like, if you guys were on the show, would my attitude have been different taking your input? So now I'll stand back and I'll listen to you guys. Was it insensitive to do, or was it the right thing to do for history?
I can't speak for all Black people, but I believe that if not all, most feel as if it's certainly insensitive to the culture. Because when you understand the history, respectfully, a white person's intentions of using blackface are irrelevant because it takes back to a time of minstrel shows, which if you're not familiar, you can Google that and it'll tell you what blackface is and where it originates from. And they used blackface in order to distinguish the differences between free blacks and enslaved blacks. And they made fun of our features, and that was their way of basically talking about us, talking down to us, and dehumanizing us. And it reminds us of a time when we were day to day dehumanized and treated as if we were less than. And that's why most Black people, when we see it, we feel like it's very insensitive to remind us of that.
Mm-hmm. I would have told you don't do it. Because of, for that reason, like Mo said, no, there's other ways that it could have been conveyed who Muhammad Ali is, right? Boxing gloves, the pants, what are they called? You know, whatever.
He had all that, the trunks and the robe and the gloves and everything.
Yeah. He didn't need to do the whole, the makeup part. You could still convey it and still honor Muhammad Ali without doing it.
I am on the side of what Kristen always says, like intent versus impact. And I feel like that goes for many subjects. And I'm on the side with Mo and Katie. Mm-hmm. I would have also said, do not do this. Not just for, obviously, for the Black community, as Mo elegantly explained, but also for the welfare of your son and your family. The things that you did put up with because of the thing that you did could have completely been sidestepped had it not been done. It wouldn't have been an issue at all. But I would always, when it comes to that particular topic, err on the side of caution because you do not want to upset people in that type of way. Racism is a very these subjects you have to be very careful about. I would have said don't do it.
Super interesting. So now I'm going to place the blame on my Black friends that advised me back then to go ahead and do it. Because they all
had
said,
a classic white man move right there.
I really didn't want to go into it totally naive, so I did ask, like, you know, I'm going to call them a cabinet of friends about it, and they had all hands down, and maybe they were too close to it, maybe they know me and know what my intent was when others didn't, said, yeah, go ahead and do it. So I've had the same feeling that you guys have, and that's why I've avoided it so long. Anytime I get the question, I kind of cringe about it because I think now, even without your guys' input, I think I would have probably made this decision now. It's like, nah, dude, there's other ways that we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could have a conversation with your black friends that said it was okay.
I really do. Well, I need a list of names.
they're still alive.
Okay. You can't even have the bomb.
You can.
Raise them.
The Bert Show.